Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And remember, as always, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, there are a lot of words that are bandied about today, like the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. And you might have some kind of an idea that this is referring to a current pandemic, but if you're like most of us, you may have little concept of what these acronyms mean and how they relate one to another. So I want to take a moment on today's broadcast to unpack them. First, the word coronavirus. Now, I know this is not a biblical word, but nonetheless, I think it's worthy of taking some time to unpack it. Coronavirus, we repeat it over and over again, but what does it mean? It actually refers to a large family of viruses common in humans and animals. And these viruses are so named because when viewed under an electron microscope, they appear with a halo or a corona, and that's why it's called a coronavirus. And by the way, the word novel appended to coronavirus is simply a way of communicating that the coronavirus we face today is new or novel. What about SARS-CoV-2? Well, that actually stands for severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2. And this is a name given to a particular coronavirus we face in this epoch of time, the one that causes the disease abbreviated as COVID-19. And by the way, that in itself is an acronym of sorts. The CO stands for corona, the VI stands for virus, and the D stands for disease, and of course, 19 is a reference to the year 2019, or last year, at the disease in which, the time in which the outbreak of the disease occurred. But what about SARS, S-A-R-S, that refers to severe acute respiratory syndrome, and it's emblematic of the global outbreak of 2003, about 17 years ago. And as such, it is yet another viral respiratory disease caused by a coronavirus. One last acronym that deserves just a moment that's bandied about in the popular media, and that is MERS, M-E-R-S, stands for Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, and was an extraordinarily deadly respiratory illness caused by a coronavirus. Hope that clears up the nomenclature, the meaning stuff, or the naming of stuff, I should say. If you're still confused after all of this, well, I can't help you. It was hard enough for me to figure this out for myself. I do want to help you with one thing, however, and that is comfort in the midst of coronavirus. And when I need comfort, whether it is cancer or coronavirus or any difficulty in life's very frequent storms, I turn to the Word of God. And I love the Psalms in this regard. Psalm 46 comes to mind. It's 11 short verses, but they are powerful and giving us peace in the midst of the storm. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is an ever-present help in the midst of trouble. And therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar, though they foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. God lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease. To the ends of the earth, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Angela listening in Indiana on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is this. I've noticed a decline or a lack, the progressive Christianity, that agenda has seemed to have been tabled or pushed back. I haven't seen much as far as post on social media or even in the news. And have you noticed that, or am I imagining things? It just seems to have simply been tabled. And have you noticed that?
So what do you mean by progressive Christianity?
What do I mean? I'm Methodist. What I'm thinking about is the Methodist and full inclusion, that piece of it,
right,
has just kind of gone away.
Yeah.
For now.
Well, I don't think it's gone away. Maybe because of all of the news with respect to coronavirus capturing our attention, capturing our focus, we're not thinking about it as much, and it is pushed somewhat in the background. But I'm very aware. I read three newspapers every morning, and I'm very aware of the progressive Christian agenda, an agenda that we talk about in Free to Believe, the battle over religious liberty in America in particular. It's so important for us to realize that religious freedom in our modern culture involves many different things, including the religious discrimination that's taking place, abortion rights, which is being advocated even within many progressive Christian circles, gay rights as well. This seems to be one of those issues that many Christians are sort of tuning into and promoting now within the Christian church. So it's not only the biggest problem that faces the Christian church with respect to religious liberty from without, but it also is an insidious invective from within as well. There's also the matter of Islam. You know, there are many progressive Christians who are saying that Islam is just another alternative religious system and that we ought to take it seriously, when in essence, this is a socio-political system that creates havoc, not only for the Christian, but for Western civilization in general. I wrote about this in a book titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. So these pressing religious challenges in the modern culture are progressive challenges that we find in the church as well. And that's one of the reasons that we're promoting the book Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. If you don't have a copy, if you're listening to the broadcast right now, it is available on the web for your support of the ministry. Go to equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When we come back from the break, more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for answers to your questions.
Many Americans think religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing around them and fear that their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In his book, Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich challenges both sides of this debate, offering a fresh perspective on the most controversial religious freedom conflicts today. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Many Americans feel their religious freedom is under attack. They see the culture changing and fear their beliefs will soon be punished as a form of bigotry. Others think these fears are overblown and say Christians should stop complaining about imaginary persecution. In Free to Believe, leading religious freedom attorney Luke Goodrich combines frontline experience with faithful attention to Scripture to show why religious freedom matters, how it is threatened, and how to protect it. With penetrating insights on gay rights, abortion, Islam, and the public square, Goodrich argues that threats to religious freedom are real, but they might not be quite what you think. To receive your copy of Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Thank you.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to Ken in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Ken.
Hank, I believe as you do that the Israel of God is none other than Jesus Christ and the church, and therefore there's no direct connection with the modern-day secular nation of Israel with the Israel of God. Not directly, but I believe that there possibly could be an indirect connection to the fact that Israel, the secular nation, could be some kind of a custodian for the owners of the land, which is Christ and the church. What would be your thought on that?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the one thing that I think you're correctly communicating is that when we talk about the Israel of God, we're talking about the church. And I think one of the problems that is made in the modern church today, certainly in modern evangelical theology, is that there's some kind of a distinction between Israel and the church. But the scripture never communicates that. What the scripture instead communicates is that God has only ever had one chosen people, and that people is purchased from every tribe and language and people and nation. And that is exactly what Paul explains. He explains the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So the precise terminology used to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament is now ascribed to the church in the New Testament. And you have Peter going so far as calling them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And so ultimately, they are the one chosen people of God, not by virtue of some kind of genealogical relationship to Abraham, but rather by virtue of a genuine relationship to the living stone. And Peter says that living stone was rejected by men, but chosen by God. So what I have said on the broadcast and written in books is that the Old and New Testament reveal only one chosen people, but in addition to that, they reveal only one covenant community. And that one covenant community is physically rooted in the offspring of Abraham, but it is spiritually grounded in one singular seed. And Paul makes that explicit in his letter to the Galatians. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And again, the scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. And Paul goes so far as to explain, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. So the one chosen people who form one covenant community are beautifully symbolized in the book of Romans as one cultivated olive tree. And that tree symbolizes Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe. Its roots symbolizes Jesus, the offspring of David. Natural branches broken off represent Jews who reject, and wild branches grafted in represent Gentiles who receive. And so Paul says, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they Abraham's children. In other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. So I think those are the basic points that we have to bear in mind when tackling this issue.
Right, but very quickly, Hank, but do you believe that Christ will literally, bodily, and physically rule from physical Jerusalem?
No.
You don't?
No, I believe that when Jesus appears a second time, what he will do is he will usher in a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. And that is what we look forward to. And if you look at what Paul says in Galatians, if your hope is in the Jerusalem that is below, you are in bondage. The Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. And the way he says this is by illustrating Hagar and Sarah. I'm turning to the passage as we speak here. It's Galatians chapter 4. So he says, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abram had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise." And then says Paul, "These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves." This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. So again, Paul is saying, don't put your hopes in an earthly Jerusalem. Rather, lift your gaze to the Jerusalem that is above, who is free. That is our mother. I think I lost Ken. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Hank. Love your show. Got a question for you.
Sure.
Got a friend of mine who is a strong Christian. I know he has faith, but he is becoming really obsessed with end time prophecies, and more importantly, using numbers to determine the date around catastrophes like pandemics or earthquakes or things like that. And I think it's tough to discuss, Bible study with him. And I was curious if there's some place that I could go in the Bible or a book or something that would help me discuss this with him to sort of get him back on track of his faith instead of almost the mythology of, he reads the Bible almost like it's a numbers game.
Yeah,
right now, and I'm worried about it.
Well, I mean, certainly there are writers in the Bible that use numbers to great effect, like the Apostle John does in the book of Revelation. But I think the problem oftentimes is that people don't know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. The code to reading the book of Revelation is to understand that Revelation is not only an unveiling, but it is a linguistic matrix that has its root in the rest of Scripture, primarily in the Old Testament. And so if you want to understand what John is really communicating, you have to have a good understanding of the rest of the Bible. You have books of the Bible like Ezekiel that are reworked by John for his narrative in seven letters to churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult with respect to what will soon take place. And so the book of Revelation is not written to us. It is written for us, but it's written to seven churches that are going to face an incredible tribulation. You have an Old Testament Antichrist, and of course we know about the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, who desecrated the temple, freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. But there's a New Testament Antichrist as well, and that New Testament Antichrist is prophesied by Jesus, and he forewarns the churches about what they are going to experience at the hands of this New Testament beast or Antichrist, who is not only going to desecrate, but he is going to manifestly destroy Jerusalem and its temple. So I think that reading Revelation rightly means that you understand what it applies to and how it applies to us in our epoch of time. And that really what we need to look forward to is Jesus returning and putting all things to right, and in the meantime, be faithful, fruitful stewards in terms of taking care of the needs of the poor and the downtrodden, and marshaling in the kingdom of Christ as co-consummators of that kingdom with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're out of time, unfortunately. Sorry for those that I didn't get to today. And we'll be back tomorrow with more answers to your questions. And always, I'm deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Free to Believe, The Battle Over Religious Liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. You can also write to CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.